What's up, guys? JP back at you once again, bringing you guys not another episode of the 22 Shots of Moods in Horror. This is actually not an official episode. This is not episode 51. What we have here is some bonus content, kind of a mixture of all different things that I'm going to try out. Figured I could throw it together real quick and give you guys a little bit of content while we are in intermission. We are actually all three living pretty chaotic lives right now. I'm having trouble at work, Moods is having trouble at work, and Jeremy is off doing all kind of glorious school things involving filmmaking, which is super awesome, and I'm kind of super jealous. So have fun with that, Jeremy. I know that it's very important to you, as it should be, and Moods, get well, taking care of your work stuff, and I will try to do the same. So in the meantime, I'm just going to post up some bonus stuff. This is, you know, won't be in the iTunes feed or anything like that. It will just be on the website as kind of a bonus show. It is under the mini shots category, which will, from time to time, I will probably post in between show stuff there. So our original plan was to get together and cap off maybe 4 or 5 more episodes before we took a break for the summer like we did last year. Unfortunately, like I said, our schedules really didn't line up, so we had to cancel the last couple episodes. We still are going to bring you one more episode though, which will not be this week and will not be next week, but will be the week after that. Our 51st episode and the season final will post on May 25th. It will be just me and Moods, but Jeremy will lend in some audio clips to kind of discuss the topics that we will be discussing. Then we are taking a break for the summer. We will have 3 shows in the summer, though. They will be franchise shows at the end of June, the end of July, and the end of August, and then we will be back in the fall. The final episode for this season, episode 51, will be the top 10 horror films of 1968. We thought it would be cool to do another top 10 show because me and Moods were talking about how much we enjoyed doing the top 10 of 2013 and the top 10 of 2014 end of the year shows. And we was kind of like, why should we only do these once a year? Why not go back retroactively and do top 10 lists for previous years in horror? We didn't really know where to start, and then we kind of thought, well, modern horror kind of starts right around 1968, so why don't we start from modern horror and work our way up from the very beginning of modern horror on through the 70s, on through the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. Of course, that's going to take a very, very long time, so we're just going to start with 1968. Of course, that show will be out May 25th. One final thing before we get rolling, and that is the giveaway. So, as you guys know, we've asked you to submit voicemails for episode 50. A lot of you did, and I really think that it heightened episode 50. We was able to hear some of your, the listeners, most influential films of the last 50 years, and I really think that it played well on the episode, kind of hearing from the friends and listeners of the show on the show. It was a pretty cool moment, and of course we promised those of you who did submit the voicemails to be entered in some sort of contest. We eventually did decide that we will choose half of the people who entered and they will win prizes, so that will be a total of 9 players who entered the giveaway will get chosen at random, and you will win some prizes. 3 for me, 3 for Jeremy, and 3 for Moods. So you will hear the results of that contest slash giveaway on episode 51, and make sure you listen for your name to be pulled, and we will get those prizes out as soon as possible. Thanks once again for all of those who entered. It was very fantastic, and we hope to do it again soon. Before we get into the news, let's have a quick little intermission, and I'll see you guys on the other side. Hi, my name's 22 Shot Tom, and I'm the 22 Shots of Moods and Horrors number one fan. If you're like me and you can't get enough of these guys, head on over to Facebook.com. Type in the search bar 22 Shots of Moods and Horror. Let Facebook do the rest. You'll find their group. It's a cool time. There's lots of cool, interesting horror fans there with plenty of interesting opinions and conversations. I've been kicked out a few times, but I'll find my way back. You can also follow them on Twitter at 22 Shots Podcast. So be sure to stalk them on, follow them on Twitter. There's also the website, www.22shots.com. 22shotsofmoodsandhorror.com, where you can find DVD and Blu-ray announcements, reviews, news, and plenty more. Want to send love notes? That's fine. 22shotsofmoodsandhorror@gmail.com. The phone sex line is 724-426-6665. Okay, guys, now we're going to get into some news. This week, there's not a whole lot to report on, but I figured I would leave you guys with a few little nugs to discuss. First up, Wolf Creek 3. Apparently, in an interview done recently, the lead actor who played Mick Garris said that a third film is in the process and they will shoot, hopefully, in the summertime. This is interesting because recently we reported on the podcast that the Wolf Creek films were going to become a miniseries. And I'm not the biggest fan of miniseries, and I kind of didn't like the idea. This is a much better idea. I would love to see a third film. The first film is a great classic 2000, early 2000 era horror film. And the second one, much more comedic, much like Freddy Krueger. It takes that comedic turn, but still, it was a pretty awesome time. So I would love to see this Mick Garris character back. And this is some good news in my opinion. I really hope to see Wolf Creek 3 very soon. I hate when you go to say soon and shortly, and it kind of is like shroom. The only other major bit of news that I've seen is a little bit of a sad, disheartening type of news. And that is a show that we've been following for a while now. We reported on it from its announcement, through its production, through its kind of final editing process, and that is the Tales from the Dark Side. This was supposed to relaunch that series on the CW. Unfortunately, it looks like the CW has passed on it. They actually were not interested after viewing the pilot. They decided not to pick it up for a full season run. So now the show is kind of stuck in limbo. It was written, at least the pilot script, by Jack Hill, who happens to be Stephen King's son. The only bit of positive news coming out of this is that Deadline is reporting that other cable networks are interested in potentially picking up the series. Those included is the Sci-Fi Channel, MTV, VH1, and possibly even the streaming service Hulu. One other thing that the story does say is that these networks have not even seen the pilot yet, so it's really just based on name value that they're kind of interested in this, but who knows, maybe one of these channels will give it a shot. I hope that it's good, and I hope that they do give it a shot, because I really want to see another anthology show out there. It's a shame that there's so much horror going on right now in the world of TV, and there's still not a big anthology TV series out there. Me and Moods have said many times that now would be the perfect time to bring back one of these anthology horror shows, something along the lines of Tales from the Dark Side, or even better yet for me, Tales from the Crypt. Now on to the DVD and Blu-ray announcements for the week. First up, we have Full Moon Entertainment bringing us Evil Bong 420, which I believe is actually the fifth film in the Evil Bong series, because there was the Ginger Dead Man versus Evil Bong film, but technically I guess it's still the fourth film. Get it? Evil Bong 420. It's definitely not the 420th Evil Bong film. That would be the Puppet Master series. Anyway, this film did premiere April 20th, National Pot Smoking Day, a well-established, well-used holiday here in the United States. I don't know if it's anywhere else, but it is in the United States. It did premiere on Hulu, though. So now we're getting a DVD only from Full Moon, and it's actually available now exclusively at FullMoonDirect.com. Not a huge fan of the Evil Bong films. I liked the first one, and I think I liked the third one. The second one was a little bit slow. And by liked, I mean like barely liked. I mean like scraped by, probably won't ever return to them. I do own them in a box set. Not really my favorite thing. They were fun at first, but the novelty wore off pretty quick. The second announcement is Arrow Video is releasing the 1977 Tobe Hooper classic Eaten Alive for the first time, I believe, in the United States on Blu-ray. Of course, we're talking about the US portion of Arrow Video that will be releasing this. I think it's really cool that they did venture over here. I've yet to pick up an Arrow Video. I know that when they were only doing the UK thing, a lot of people held them in really high regard, and I almost find it almost blasphemous that I still have not checked out a release by Arrow, but I will eventually. They're just a little bit too pricey for me right now. Once I can get one for a cool 20 bucks, and, you know, it's a film that I was really looking forward to, I'll eventually give them a shot. And Eaten Alive probably won't be that one. Not the biggest fan of it, but we did do a full-length featured review on it way back in episode number 14, which is pretty crazy to think about that we're already on episode 51 and we covered Eaten Alive back in episode 14. Check that out if you haven't. I'm sure it's pretty bad, but give it a shot anyway. So you can pick up Eaten Alive from Arrow Video, July 28th, 2015. The third release that caught my eye is from Gorgon Video. They are releasing a double feature Blu-ray of Bonnie's Kids and a film that we covered on episode 46 as a featured review, The Centerfold Girls. Both of these will be paired up. Bonnie's Kids actually sounds pretty interesting. I've never heard of the film before. It follows two sisters, I believe, as they murder their pervert stepfather, flee to the big city, only to be caught up in the sleazy underworld of horny private eyes, predatory lesbians, $400 in stolen mob money, and a bantering pair of black and white hitmen. But these two sexy siblings are a force to be reckoned with, and no one is safe once they've fallen in with Bonnie's Kids. Sounds pretty damn amazingly ridiculous. The Centerfold Girls, of course, we was all very high on. Me, Jeremy, and Moods thought it was a great watch. It'll be interesting to see how it cleans up in Blu-ray. It was a little rough. Normally, I wouldn't double dip, but considering there's a film in there that I haven't seen, maybe I will give this Blu-ray a shot. I do own The Centerfold Girls on DVD, but I wouldn't just be upgrading. I would actually be upgrading and getting a film that I had never seen from the 70s as well. Sounds like a little bit of an exploitation film. Should be a lot of fun. This release will be available June 9th. Next up, our good pals Scream Factory announced a couple new titles. First up, we have Wormwood, Road of the Dead. This is an Australian produced take on the zombie genre. It's actually been receiving quite a bit of buzz from the past year from fans and, as Scream Factory says, press outlets such as the New York Times, Blu-ray.com, and of course RogerEbert.com. The second film they announced is Ejecta. A horrific alien invasion forces two men to fight for their lives during one universe-altering night of terror. Both of these films are also coming from the partnership with IFC, so IFC Midnight, Scream Factory still doing big things. Both of these films will be available in the summertime. You have Wormwood coming out August 4th of 2015, and of course Ejecta will hit streets August 18th of 2015. Next up, we have a couple films from Olive Films, and I threw these in here even though they aren't horror necessarily. They are exploitation films, more specifically blaxploitation films, and you guys know that I've covered the blaxploitation documentary Badass Cinema in the past, and a couple of these films were mentioned, so I felt like it was relevant. First up, we have Coffee from 1973, starring Pam Grier. Then we have Foxy Brown from 1974, starring Pam Grier. Of course, we have Friday Foster, starring Pam Grier. Hammer, starring Fred Williamson, and She-Devil. These are all coming from Olive Films, June 9th of 2015. Last up, we are coming full circle, talking about Full Moon once more. Full Moon Entertainment has announced their new limited edition variant DVD series. This is supposed to target the ultimate collector, their words, not mine. Essentially what it is one of their DVD releases, kind of repackaged with new cover art, and it is limited to 250 copies, and it also comes signed. And that's kind of it. It's standard DVD, no Blu-ray here. The first film that they released is Bloodstone Subspecies 2. That comes out now. It's already out. It's released. I'm not sure if it's sold out yet, but there are only 250 copies. So if you want to get it, act fast. It is $20 with free shipping through Amazon Prime, I believe. And next month, they will be releasing Puppet Master in June. And of course, they will be releasing Intruder the month after that. I believe they plan on doing one a month, and that's going to wrap up the DVD announcements for this week. We will be right back with the DVD releases for the week. Yeah, I'll be Okay, so back with me for the releases this week, the DVD and Blu-ray releases. Actually, since I'm recording this on May the 12th, which is a Tuesday, and that's when releases drop, I'm going to cover this week's releases, and since there's no podcast next week, I'll cover next week's, which is the 19th as well. First up, we have The Drownsmen. This is on Blu-ray. Not sure who put it out. It has like a kind of cool cover. We have a woman in the bathtub. We have some hands coming up, pulling her down, a la Elm Street 1 with Nancy. Kind of reminds me of that a bit. This one I did see at Walmart earlier today, so I'm not really sure. Sometimes Walmart's good, sometimes they're bad. You get a lot of ghostlies and stuff like that there. But every once in a while you get some good stuff. I mean, they do carry some Scream Factories, I've seen Midnight, stuff like that. So I should probably look to see who's putting this out. Maybe it's pretty decent. I'll give it a shot. It looks cool on the cover. Maybe wait for the price to drop a bit though. After that, we have Extraterrestrial from Scream Factory, partnershiped with IFC Midnight. Of course, this is from the Vicious Brothers. I've heard very good things about this one and very mediocre things. Very curious to check it out. I love some alien films and shit like that, so I'll definitely pick this one up. Scream Factory, I pick up all of them anyway, so I will eventually get to it. After that, this is not really horror, but I figured I'd throw it in there anyway. We have a Blu-ray collection with all three Jurassic Park films. Then we have Satan's Blade from Olive Films. This is a partnership with Slasher Video, the first of many. I believe there is at least 10 more releases coming from that partnership in the future. This is one that I have not watched yet. I do have it on Blu-ray already. I have a screener copy of it, and I can't wait to check it out. Courtesy of Olive Films, of course. Definitely check that out if you haven't yet. I probably will watch it tonight. Then we have an Arrow Video release, The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Miss Osborne. Don't really know anything about that one, so I really can't comment on it. After that, we have a couple of special limited 2-disc collector's editions from Severin. We have She Killed in Ecstasy and Vampiros Lesbos. Don't know anything about these, but they look fucking awesome. I would love to pick them up if I wasn't broke as hell right now. Then we have a Kino release, X, The Man with the X-Ray Eyes. Don't really know anything about this one. I think it's kind of older, so it's probably some sort of classic that I'm completely unfamiliar with. Then we have a film called Ice Tastrophe. I kid you not, it's called Ice Tastrophe. I'm not sure who put this out. It's probably someone like The Asylum, or actually it's a company called Alchemy, which I've never heard of. Looks fucking awful. Then we have another Kino release. This is Edgar Allan Poe's The Premature Burial, produced and directed by Roger Corman. I believe this is DVD only. Then we have a film called Sleepwalker, which was an official selection at the Sundance Film Festival 2014. Don't really know anything about this one. Haven't heard anything about it either. It's coming from MPI Home Video. Then we have a Troma release from Asia with Lust, a double feature of Lipstick and Weekend. I guess these are both Asian horror films or thriller films or exploitation films or extreme films. Not really sure. Cover actually looks pretty sick. Sex and Violence with Adult Porn Star Miyuki Yakumyama. Next up is a film from 17 Movies, which is a company that I've never heard of ever. It's called Lilith, a Vampire Who Comes Back. I'm not sure if this is an old film or a new film. It looks like it's kind of going for that Nosferatu look, so it does kind of look old, but it could just be a new film kind of copying that style because it looks awesome. This cover doesn't look that awesome, but it feels like it's trying to look awesome like Nosferatu. And finally, for the 12th, we have a film called The Final Hours. It has a bunch of quotes on it, like intense, powerful, breathtaking, awe-inspiring. And this film is coming to us from Wellgo USA. Now we're going to talk about releases from the 19th. So we have Creature coming from Olive Films. This thing looks awesome. It's some kind of fish, water, monster creature. I think Matt from You and Your Horror Movies has seen it. I'm not sure if he said it was good, but you know him and his creature features. He loves them. So I'd be curious, Matt, if you're listening, let us know if it's any good. Then we have Kino releasing Evil Eye. Don't really know anything about that. That's why I wish Moods was here, because he's seen all these films, so he usually could comment on them. After that, we have Extremities with Farrah Fawcett. This cover looks pretty cool, actually. It's kind of looks a little exploitive. This is a Olive release. I kind of forgot that they was releasing this one. I should have tried to get some kind of press copy or something, but you know, it kind of looks interesting just based on the cover. After that, we have Poltergeist 2 and Poltergeist 3 with pretty lame covers, if you ask me. Not really a fan. Then there is a double feature with Poltergeist 2 and 3 in it as well. Of course, after that, we have Stigmata from Scream Factory, which is a film that I had never seen. I've heard decent things about it, so I will eventually pick that up. Then we have another release of Terminator 2, which isn't a horror film, but it is one of my favorite films of all time. I have it on Blu-ray, no need to grab another. Then we have Trancers 2, which is hitting Blu-ray from Full Moon Entertainment. I've actually never seen any of the Trancers films, which is kind of weird. I think there's like 6 or 7 of them too. Maybe I should give them a shot sometime. Then the film Zombievers has finally made its way to the U.S. Man, this looks ridiculous and cheesy. Maybe I might have to check it out based on that. These normally aren't my cup of tea, but I kind of almost can't even pass with a cover like that. Then we have a film called All Sinners Night. Doesn't really look that good. I say skip it. After that, a film called Awake in the Woods. This one kind of looks alien abduction-y. At first I was going to say this looks a little ghostly, but no, it's definitely more alien-y. You know, I like aliens, but I don't know anything about that film. After that, we have Awaken the Devil. This film poster looks really fucking cheesy and cool. It's from Bayview Entertainment, who I've never even heard of, I don't think. Not really sure. I mean, I probably wouldn't take a chance on this one, even for $11.99. Not really my thing. Then we have a film called Camp Massacre. Oh my god, it looks awful. I don't even want to talk about it. Then we have a film called Curse of the Witching Tree. Total bona fide ghostly right here. Then we have a film called Deadly Weekend. Kind of looks a little cool. I might check that out based on the cover. After that, we have a film called They Will Outlive Us All. This is a killer cockroach film. I definitely want to check this out. This is coming to us from Wild Eye Releasings. I would love to get a copy of that. I love killer insect films, even though 90% of them are awful. I just love killer insect films. I don't know why. It's a guilty pleasure of mine. Then we have a film called American Poltergeist. It looks like it's totally from The Asylum, but it's not. It's from Wild Eye Releasing. It looks exactly like a ripoff of The Poltergeist, so I guess Wild Eye is taking a page out of The Asylum's book. After that, we have another Wild Eye releasing, and that is Raiders of the Lost Shark. It looks awful, stupid, definitely not my type. That's more of a Moods film. Shitty shark films, that's up his alley. After that, we have a film from Lionsgate called Roommate Wanted. Looks more of like a drama, thrillery, horror film. It's starring Alexa Vega, who is, I believe, the little girl from Spy Kids who grew up and turned all hot and stuff. Might pick it up based on that. Then we have a film called What We Do in the Shadows. I think I heard good things about this one. I'm not really sure who's putting it out, but it looks kind of cool. Cool cover and stuff. I'd probably check that one out based on the cover. And finally, for this week, we have a zombie exorcism. Looks completely awful. This is not my type of film at all. From Wild Eye Releasing, they're releasing a lot of stuff this week. So I'm sure that there's probably a sleeper hit in there. Who knows, it could be a zombie exorcism. But I'll wait till somebody else finds out before I spend my money on them. And then I'll just grab the good one. Okay, so that's going to wrap it up for the DVD releases this week. That is June 12th. And of course, next week, which is June 19th. I'll see you guys on the other side with a bit of knowledge.
I was supposed to be this hip-hop savior, but I turned into a sinister.
Yeah! Whack niggas prepare to die. You ain't got nowhere to hide. I'm knocking at your fucking door. You scared because you know hell arrived. Niggas gonna get dealt with rhymes. It's just me, myself, and I. I low-key running trash shit. You don't know because it ain't televised. This is war, gentlemen. My flow is filled with more venom than George Zimmerman in his car, chilling with a loaded 44 tucked into a drawer, fidget and itching to find a brand new gasket to store niggas in. Y'all just make me laugh and giggle. Call me out on tracks and bitch, I pound on you like that vending machine that stole my pack of Skittles. Niggas thought the yard me dissolved and I was soft after my album. No, bitch, I evolved. I'm taking over shit easily. I rarely do collaborations because you don't qualify to be in the league with me. I just let the beat unleash. Someone get this freaking leash. I'm snapping on all you, leaving every MC deceased.
I'm the motherfucking hip-hop sinister. These niggas thought I was done, but I ain't finished up. I'm the motherfucking hip-hop sinister. Niggas thought I was done, but I ain't finished up.
Motherfucker, we making history. A million independently, so kiss my fucking ass. Left to right, you get to pick the cheek. You on ball, you just pretend you do to make the chicks believe. But your label is fucking you like Ruthless Records did to me. Stop with the compliments. I've been locked in my mama's den plotting. When I would be dropping his hops in the apocalypse. Bombing incompetent. Rap goblins mobbing the continent. Gotta be dominant. I'm surprised the god isn't vomiting. I'm wearing the badge, tearing your ass. Another badge cutting through necks till they barely attach me in this game. I'm one in the same like Jaren and Crack. The darkness is arrived, so make a flare with a match. You got skill, where is it at? I haven't seen it. Who cares to attack a genius? You'll get mad as I have you gag your penis until you throw up your own liver. I don't give a fuck. The flow ripper.
What? I'm the motherfucking hip-hop sinister. These niggas thought I was done, but I ain't finished up. I'm the motherfucking hip-hop sinister. These niggas thought I was done, but I ain't finished up.
Now if I stop being who I am, that would upset me. I'll never change for none of you whack-ass deadbeats. I struggle to change for Jay Christ to accept me. I don't even change clothes, shit, not even my bed sheets. When I step inside the booth to rhyme, rappers commit suicide and jump in front of a moving semi-truck like it was cool to die. Niggas is watered down, fuck it, it's time to scuba dive. Better get on your knees and pray to God and hope that you survive. Killing rappers like I condone violence. I murder you and when your soul is floating to hell like Ghost Riding. You won't last living in this cold climate, so don't try it. I know I'm ill, I don't need no pussies to co-sign it. Commercial niggas thinking they carry the torch. It's gonna be very hilarious when I bury your corpse. So next time you spit a fucking rhyme that's too simple, I jump kick your ass through the glass of the booth window.
Yeah. I'm the motherfucking hip-hop sinister. These niggas thought I was done, but I ain't finished up. I'm the motherfucking hip-hop sinister. Niggas thought I was done, but I ain't finished up.
Hey. All right, guys, we are back with a new segment called Knowledge. Now, knowledge will just be a section where I give you guys some recommendations in the horror world somewhere on the internet, or usually point you guys to an article or a video or something like that, as well as just a segment where we can talk about random things and I give you guys my opinions. So first up, Jeremy's brand new review of Satan's Blade, which is a film that was released yesterday at the time of me recording this segment. It is now Wednesday. The film was released yesterday by Olive Films, partnering up with Slasher Video. Jeremy does a fantastic written review. It's a short one. It's a quick read. He covers all the angles that you would be looking for in a written review, and it does not drag, which I'm super happy about because I hate reviews that drag. Good stuff. Head on over to the website. That's www.22shotsandmoodsandhorror.com. Check out Jeremy's review of Satan's Blade on Blu-ray for the first time. Check it out. After that, I'm going to point you guys to another article. This time, it is not on our website. It is actually on a website that I visit daily. It is not a big website like Bloody Disgusting, where every single piece of news is going to be posted there probably first. This one is kind of more laid back and simple, and it is Icons of Fright. I've always been a big fan of this website, and there is an article up over there. It's called I Like My Horror to Hurt: Why We Need Downer Endings in Horror, and that is posted by Jerry Smith. This one is just a quick little read, but I thought it was a good explanation of why we need downer endings, which I am a true fan of. I love the downer ending. I love the ending where everybody isn't happy, or it's kind of up for interpretation, or it's just flat out like the good people lost. I love those endings because it offsets the amount of good endings that we get, and I think the people in the comments were correct saying that you kind of need a balance, and you have to have a lot of those, you know, happy endings in order for these downer endings to be effective, because if every ending was a downer ending, they wouldn't be as powerful. So definitely check out this article. It's a very quick read, and it was, you know, kind of just reminded me how much I love the downer ending. The next thing I'm going to recommend is actually a thing that I talk about all the time. You can find this on YouTube every once in a while, and we're talking about TNT's Monster Vision. I grew up watching Monster Vision. It's one of the few key reasons why I'm into horror so much as I am, because I spent many a Saturday night staying up late watching horror movies on TNT with Joe Bob Briggs as my host, kind of walking me through it. I talk about this show all the time because it was such a huge, important moment in my life. It kind of, you know, molded me into who I am today. And a lot of people, I'm surprised to hear, did not grow up with Monster Vision, and it always just surprises me so much. So I actually love to kind of introduce people into it. You can find, you know, most of Joe Bob Briggs's like segment clips on YouTube, but it's not the same when you're not watching it with the film. So every once in a while, someone will upload a full-length Monster Vision episode onto YouTube with the full film and, of course, Joe Bob's segments all together. So I just kind of want to point you guys to a couple of those. If you type in TNT's Monster Vision on YouTube, right now there is Halloween 2 and The Stepfather available to watch in full. Of course, you can't really release these because they obviously have the full film, you know, Halloween 2 and The Stepfather in them. So that's why they're so hard to find and they're always pulled from YouTube, is because, you know, you can't show the film in its entirety on YouTube. It's kind of, you know, breaks a lot of copyrights right there. So that's why you can't find them, but you kind of need them to enjoy Monster Vision the same way. So, of course, I do recommend that you pick up The Stepfather on DVD. And obviously, I'm sure most of you have Halloween 2, but if you don't, pick that up as well. And then you guys can go watch TNT Monster Vision, and you won't feel bad about it. So I encourage you guys to sit down, turn off all the lights, wait till late Saturday night, throw this on YouTube, cut off all technology, throw out all smartphones. Obviously, keep your computer on because you're going to need to watch the YouTube video. Pretend it's 1997 and you're home alone on a Saturday night with some popcorn and some different types of pop, just chilling in the house, not doing much, flip on some TNT's Monster Vision and let the nostalgia take over. Now I want to point you guys to a list of 3 half-hour long videos, half-hour plus. Go to the channel youtube.com/user/horroris dead, and there are some really well-made fan documentaries here. And every once in a while when you're surfing through YouTube, it's the average, regular YouTube video, and then you find something that's a little bit more, it goes one step above and beyond, the production is way higher, and it's just a well-made video. It's more than a video, it's almost as if it isn't your typical user-created content, but something a little more. So there are three documentaries here. The first one is How New Line Destroyed Friday the 13th. That one is probably my favorite of the three. It's really well done. I may not agree with all of the things said in all three of these documentaries. Actually, most of the time I disagree, but I can still see the guy's point of view, and as well, I can understand where he's coming from. And I do agree with some of the concepts and opinions, just not as a whole. I don't agree. So the second one is How Found Footage Poisons Cinemas, and finally the third one is How Rob Zombie Destroyed Halloween. Very, very touchy topics, very bold statements. These, all three of these, are very, very well made, definitely worth checking out. I highly recommend you check it out. The guy who created these videos, I believe, does have a separate channel where he talks about VHSs, which is also very, very cool. So definitely click on his featured channels link, and his other channel should be there. As I said, awesome videos. Obviously, very passionate horror fandom here, which is really cool. Even though I don't agree with everything, I highly recommend checking out these. These are really cool. This is something I would love to be able to make and have the time and patience to do, but probably never could. Finally, for my recommendations, I'm going to point you guys to a few videos that I made. Earlier in the show, we talked about the Full Moon Horror Variant series. Well, if you head on over to my channel, youtube.com/user/doubleshotj, I actually made a video kind of giving my opinions on the limited variant series put out by Full Moon. Shouldn't surprise you that I wasn't a big fan of the idea, but I explain more in the video and kind of break down what they're doing. And of course, I also made a video titled 10 Horror Films You Should Check Out on Mother's Day. Now, Mother's Day is already passed, but I thought it was a pretty fun video, something a little different, so you can check that out. I talk about more than 10 titles, but some of them were sequels and stuff like that. Maybe a few surprising ones on there that you can prepare for next Mother's Day. So check out that video if you would, and leave me a comment, let me know what you think. Thanks for checking out my channel as well, guys. I highly recommend you check out all of the things I mentioned here tonight. Really cool stuff, especially those documentaries. I really enjoyed watching those. Finally, for the knowledge segment, I wanted to talk about slipcovers. Recently, Zach posted a picture of some of those Severn releases and was, you know, kind of saying, like, I don't really like slipcovers, I'm about to throw them in the garbage. It always surprises me to hear that, because I don't really see the negative of slipcovers. I love them. I think they're awesome. But even if you don't love them, you know, even if you're not positive about them, why are you negative about them? I think it would be much more reasonable to be neutral, as in, I don't like them, but I don't really care. Like, how are they negative? How does it go from neutral to negative? Because what is the negative? I don't understand. It's bonus extra stuff. It's not like it's hurting the release in any way, shape, or form. If anything, all it does is make you take a additional piece of packaging off before you can play the movie, before you can open the case and pop it in the Blu-ray player. But really, I mean, if that is the biggest complaint, I think that's just laziness, because how is another, you know, 1.5 second affecting you that much? I mean, I understand that some people get annoyed at the simplest things, but if that is the reason that you don't like slipcovers, I find that to be ridiculous. Again, I understand if you don't like slipcovers, as in, you don't care if it has one or it doesn't, you're not going to go out of your way to try to get one. I personally do things like that, but that's because I like them. It's when it goes to the point of actually getting mad about them or thinking of them negatively, because there is no negative. There is no downside to slipcovers. They're extra. They don't cost more. The only thing that it is you have to take it off to open the case. And if that really bugs anybody that much, it kind of blows my mind, because How does that bug you? It's one extra second. That's going to wrap up the new segment, Knowledge. Right now, we're going to take a quick little break. And on the other side, I'm going to have a movie review for you guys. Alright, so the first of two reviews is going to be the sci-fi original film that debuted in 2015. We are talking about Lake Placid vs. Anaconda. Killer crocodiles and giant anacondas clash in a thriller about corporate greed and science gone wrong. So obviously both of these films have merged together. We have the Lake Placid franchise, which spawned four films, the fourth being Lake Placid, The Final Chapter, and of course the Anaconda films, which I believe also spawned four films. So this is each series' fifth film, and that makes nine films total, which is just ridiculous. I had to know if this was as ridiculous as it sounded. Lake Placid versus Anaconda. Sci-Fi Channel has to know how stupid that title is, and I hope they were self-aware when titling that, because that is just awful. You could not be self-aware. It's ridiculous. So I have seen most of the films in the Lake Placid series. I definitely seen the first two. I'm not sure if I saw the third one, and I've definitely seen the fourth one. The reason I remember seeing the fourth one is because it was called The Final Chapter, and it was on the Sci-Fi Channel, and I ended up watching it. And I know that the sheriff, who is played by Yancey Butler, she's kind of a tough chick sheriff, had died in the fourth film, along with Robert Englund, who had died in the fourth film. Well, they're both back for Lake Placid versus Anaconda, ignoring the fact that they died in the fourth film, both of their characters return. They do an okay job of bringing these two films together plot-wise. They actually do have somewhat of a continuity. They do mention the Blood Orchid, which of course was a big part of Anaconda 2. And now there is these, you know, corporate greed people coming in, hiring Robert Englund to do some shit with some crocodiles, and they escape, and then the anacondas escape, and then also we have the neighboring town. There's a girl there who is pledging a sorority, so she goes to the lake with her new kind of goth-like friend. They go up there. Both of them are not really into the whole sorority thing. They're doing it for different reasons besides personal reasons. The sorority girls are absolutely fucking retarded. They are annoying. They're really fucking annoying. The main character is like the most cliched stuck-up girl bitch character ever. So as they're pledging by the lake, there's a crocodile attack, so they must all scatter, get out of there. They really showcase how these girls like absolutely are so selfish by the way that the attack plays out. Kind of annoying. It, you know, oh my god, it's so bad. Meanwhile, you have the sheriff who is teaming up with the girl's father as they are trying to stop the crocodiles along with save the daughter. Then of course you have this corporate greed, Robert Englund led group who is just trying to get the snakes back because they can make them a lot of money. Then you have the main event in CGI fighting CGI. These creatures look absolutely awful. The crocodiles are tolerable. They're bad, but tolerable. But the anacondas look so awful. They look like a garden snake blown up in CGI. I mean, it's ridiculous. They're so skinny. They look nothing like the anacondas that we know from the Anaconda films, at least the first two. They don't even look like anacondas. They're skinny. They're weird. It's so bad. However, I found this film to be more entertaining than most films that are this bad. So even though it is entertaining, it's still a completely awful film. All of the characters are annoying, except for, I actually really like the sheriff. Like, the tough, butch girl almost looks like a lesbian character. Like, I find her super cool. I've always kind of liked her, even in the fourth one. The acting is terrible in this, even by her, but still, I kind of like her. It's weird. I don't know why I like her. It's weird, but I do like her, so she was kind of a fun character to watch. Everybody else kind of sucks. Even Robert Englund kind of sucks. The acting is terrible. The CGI is bad. The story is ridiculously stupid, yet I still had a lot of fun watching it. I sat there and laughed. It was so fun. Even though I do like it, it is an awful movie, and it is a 3 out of 10. Next up, you're going to hear something a little bit different. This is going to be a bloopers segment. So every once in a while during the recording of the 22 Shots of Moods and Horror podcast, somebody says something funny or ridiculous or just messes up. I saved the clip, and eventually I was going to make a giant compilation of bloopers. Unfortunately, I haven't really been doing it that long. I should have been saving them all along, but I really didn't have an easy way to save them until I realized there was an easy way to save them. So this is just a couple of bloopers that I've saved up. You guys are going to listen to that, and then when we return from that, I will have another movie review for you. So see you guys on the other side.
The lead that killed Freddy.
That's
that
like
girl?
My Freddy's laser just signed.
Which lead thing. Actually? There was like kind of two lead chicks in.
Well,
Lisa Sane. Be.
So that was Maggie then.
Maggie, sure, yeah.
She's cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
We got a few voicemails this week, don't we?
Oh, you fucker.
Make a fucking edit, you dumb shit.
It's no, you can't just throw it at me like I have
what
my phone
mean?
Open
it's
and the same, they're ready
it's
to play.
Same, it's a pee
I thought
break
we were
time
still
then?
Talking about it.
Dude, it's the same structure every week.
Are we taking new a pee swings, break?
New releases,
says the guy
go,
who could never have his Fangoria opened in time. Or his room morgue.
Oh, so you don't even know what magazine I'm reading the shit out of. Fuck.
Are we taking a pee break?
Go ahead, dude.
Go ahead.
Coming in at number... Is it my turn?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Every year for a while until Paranormal Activity came out.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Shut up.
You getting voicemails right there or what?
It's the second time that shit's happened. I think it was editing here.
Jesus fucking Christ, that annoys me so much, man.
What is that?
It's the fucking phone. I don't know why the ringer, like, for all, remember when we first started this season, the phone's ringer was, and then I shut it off, and now it's fucking magically back on again.
Someone's fucking with you, man. Jesus. You're like, JP's recording his podcast today. We're going to turn that ringer on. Ha, gotcha, motherfucker.
Driving me. Shut up.
Hello?
Base ringer is off.
Good.
But yeah.
Somebody want to hit the plot, not it.
Jeremy?
Come on. Can you make an edit?
An edit? Yeah, I guess.
Well, it's actually not really that hard, to be honest. This one's actually really simple. If you want, I could just read the IMDb.
That's what I was getting. I could read it now. I'm ready.
Hold on. I got to write down the edit mark.
Ready?
I'll just read it off.
Come on, man.
I'm not ready. No, you lost your opportunity, Jeremy.
I'll just read it off. This one actually is
Hold up. I'm not ready yet, though.
Then we have a film coming from Lionsgate called Roommate Wanted, starring Alexa Vega.
I don't really know what to say about it. What about, like, the...
You could just carry on with what I was saying, like, elaborate more on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the,
of course, this is kind of a interesting topic. I've kind of gave my opinions on it. Whew, I'm out of breath. After that, we have another Wild Eye releasing, and that is Raiders of the Lost. I can't even say this ridiculous title. Raiders of the Lost Shark. It looks awful, stupid. Definitely not my type. That's more of a Moods film. Shitty shark films. That's up his alley.
That pay for you tomorrow is $100.
Yeah.
Fuck me. Fucking ordering it too. I didn't know it was $100
for HD.
Yeah, it's $100. $99.99.
What the fucking cunt?
Mm-hmm. So it's probably like $130 for you.
Coming in. Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah, but it's Clive Barker's hell. And that's the difference. It's like Clive Barker created his own version of hell, which is entirely different than the Christian version of hell.
Mm-hmm.
Yet it still kind of has familiar elements, and mm-hmm. that's what is so interesting about Hellraiser. I didn't really know what else to say there.
I was totally waiting for you to say
that. Yeah.
You know, I remember when I was in grade 5, you know, everybody
I know you dressed up.
Don't even get me started with the stupid shit that you guys say.
Grade 5, I gotta go phone up my friend and tell him.
Fuck.
Maybe he'll want to have a diaper party.
Never mind, fuck. So fucking stupid.
I'm sorry.
So when you was in grade 5.
Fuck, forget it.
Totally,
my concentration got all fucked up there.
Jeremy, look what you did.
It was funny. I had to laugh. Why can't you just say fifth grade? I don't get it.
It's just
because that's not what it is. But it's so funny though, man. You grab like a yearbook and it doesn't say the 12th grade.
It would say senior year.
Yeah, ours would say like junior.
Yeah, but we actually don't classify grades like that. We don't have specific classifications.
I'm sorry, I fucked up. Just keep going.
Forget it. Just move on. I can't even remember what I was even talking about now.
Pop culture, you and your schoolmate in grade five. Just
in the fifth grade. See, it doesn't even sound right when you say that. Yeah, when I was, you know, when I was in the fifth, whatever.
Okay, just keep going. We're talking about pop culture. You and your friend, you and your mate in fifth grade.
When I was in grade, fuck, I'll even show you my goddamn fucking report. It doesn't say the fifth grade report card. It's fucking bullshit.
You still have your fifth grade report card?
Yeah, so, I guess we're getting out of here, right, guys?
Yep.
Jeremy.
Oh, already said. God, there must be so many follies from this show.
All right, before we get out of here, guys, I have one more review for you. This film is directed by Scott Derrickson, who you might know from Hellraiser Inferno, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, and Deliver Us from Evil. This film is from the year 2012, and it's titled Sinister. So Sinister is a film that I knew about for quite a while, and I always thought it looked really interesting. And then when it came out, I heard a few negative reviews, and I decided to just hold off on it for a while. And I really shouldn't have, because it's a great movie. The story follows a true crime writer who is researching his next book. So he moves his family into the murder victim's house of a famous case. There he finds a mysterious box filled with Super 8 movies that is labeled Home Movies. He begins researching the case with his secret box of hidden movies when he realizes the film reels are not what they seem and they hold something sinister. So the lead character is a writer whose previous books have kind of been on a decline. One of his early books is also his most successful book, and he hasn't really ever been able to live up to it since. So he really goes to desperate measures to try to recapture that former glory. This film comes to us from Blumhouse, the people that brought us Insidious and Paranormal Activity, and it definitely has that sort of Insidious vibe to it, which I'm a huge fan of. One of the things I really like about this film is the investigative nature. We're following the film through the writer's eyes as he's discovering all these hidden type messages and clues and creepy imagery on these 8mm home movies. I would kind of describe it as a cross between Insidious and The Ring. As we are watching these 8mm home movies, we are learning a little bit more about the mythology of this character called Mr. Boogie. It's sort of like the Boogeyman, really creepy character. It kind of stems from this Celtic mythology. Each of the 8mm home movies are labeled something along the lines of the family barbecue, and in the home movies, it is pretty much a snuff film. For example, the family barbecue is a bunch of family members being set on fire. Then you have films like The Family Pool Party, in which you see a family being drowned. All of these are very graphic, and sometimes you don't really see a whole lot. It's more suggested or kind of shown to you through a interesting way where it's not really showing you the graphic details, but you still get the idea of it, and it's really terrifying and really violent as well. As the man begins to get deeper and deeper into these murders, he starts having trouble with his wife and his kids because there's things that he's not telling them. It kind of plays out as you would expect, the relationship between him and his wife, but it's very well acted and it's very intense. I was completely invested in the story and the backstory behind these murders. I thought it was very intriguing. It was very original. You see a lot of these type of films, the investigative murder history type stuff, but this one was done really well and it had a unique spin on that type of tale. He sort of befriends different people, like one of the local town cops who is dubbed Officer So-and-So. It's really cool how that kind of plays out. He's a likable character, you know, kind of a dopey type of cop, but it works really well. It kind of offsets a bit of the terror with some slight, very, very light humor. Overall, I thought this was a fantastic movie. I love the way that it played out. Has a great ending. I will say that the only negative is I feel like sometimes they showed a little too much ghostly stuff going on, and other times I feel like there were maybe one or two jump scares that were kind of a little much. This film does deliver on a lot of good scares though. There are just one or two that go overboard, but I love the amount of scares that was in this film. Yes, there are jump scares. Yes, some of them work, and yes, some of them don't work. Overall, I just loved the whole way that this film played out. I liked the character. I felt like I was with him. He starts drinking whiskey. He is kind of losing his mind a little bit, and I like how it all played out. It's just a very creepy, scary movie that was done very well. There's a sequel coming out very soon. I'm really looking forward to that. This one kind of ends with a lot of things unresolved. I think there's a lot more mythology you can go into. Overall, I think this is a fantastic movie. It's an 8 out of 10. All right, guys, that's gonna wrap up the show. Good hours worth of content here. It is very hard to do a solo podcast. I really didn't even mean for it to end up being this long, but it just kind of played out that way. I hope you guys stick around and enjoy episode 51 as our season final, and I look forward to seeing you guys in that episode and in the summer episode. As always, I love all of you. You guys make us want to do this weekly. Unfortunately, sometimes we just can't. It is a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun work. I'll see you guys next time. Peace out.
Children laughing left her body.